With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
The following is a Post Time with Mike and Mike production.
Coming up third, Liz Bird up the inside. Rock Diamond, wow! Four of them. Here is Rock Diamond and Mitchell Cushing. They win the gold cup in soccer.
It's American history. Try to dig in. On the outside, Endeavor. Dorsen Oral had her at the inside. Delta Winner creeping up on the rail. They come across the track. Three wide. Endeavor!
Pocket, here comes Nine Ways toward the inside. Fire Drake, a 16 to the wire. Rocking speed, and Nine Ways battling it out down to the line. Nine Ways takes over the lead. Nine Ways will win it again in 1:50-2.
Lather Up absolutely destroys them, and he wins again. Lather Up. And this is the plan. McWicked and Dorso Duro Hanover in 1:59-2 for the mile and 1/8.
Here's the stretch. Southwind Ozzy on the outside.
You're tuned in to the official podcast of the Sport of Harness Racing Post Time with Mike and Mike, with your hosts, Mike Carter.
And number 1,000 for the third time, Aaron Merriman wins.
And Mike Bozich.
Down to the finish, Shorten and a game win in the Betsy Ross over Caviar Alley and Apple Bottom Jeans, 1:49-2, unbelievable.
Welcome to another action-packed rendition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the United States Trotting Association. Mike Carter alongside of Mike Bozich. And speaking of Caviar Alley and Charton, Mike, they will take their center stage on a virtual racetrack tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, that's some exciting stuff. And, you know, listen, I appreciate the opportunity to work with you a little bit on this. And I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's something that is going to kind of keep us busy during this lockdown, and boy, do we need it, because I'll tell you what, I'm really going stir crazy. I need some harness racing in my life right now, Mike Carter.
You're not kidding. And I'll tell you what, harness racing is something we all miss, and the guys at Off and Pacing are going to help us put something together. That is a full field of 8 that will go postward. Looking forward to it. And, you know, it was nice to just actually sit down and call a race, to be quite
honest. Yeah, I bet. You know, and I'm gonna tell you, Mike, a few of the sports organizations are starting to use this virtual technology to kind of keep their fans engaged, and we're starting to see like virtual NBA games. A lot of the baseball now is being virtually played. My beloved Chicago White Sox, I think they're like 10-3 or something like that, or with a good winning record virtually. So we'll see if we can get that season going and they can actually do that on the actual field. But you know, it is what it is, Mike. We're going to have another program today that's going to once again concentrate and talk about the coronavirus. We're going to have Vic Kirby, Tim Tietrich on, and, they're going to tell us kind of how they're coping with things. I mean, how they're kind of dealing with the lockdown and what kind of mentality they have and what kind of hopes they have as far as to when we can actually get back on the racetrack. And Mike, I'll tell you what, our old friend Rich Matei is going to be joining us on the program today, and we're going to talk to Rich a little bit about his future wife. And she is, God bless her, and all the first responders that are out right basically in ground zero trying to deal with this disease and fight this virus. She is a nurse in one of the New Jersey hospitals in the coronavirus unit. And, you know, I've talked to Rich a couple of times, and she has seen some horrific, horrific things. She's also seen some good stories, too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to talk to Rich and you know, kind of see what she's kind of been going through with, kind of get inside the mind of one of the people that's right on the front lines battling this, Mike.
Yeah, we're also going to talk to Tim Tietrich for a little bit. And I know these drivers got to be going a little stir crazy, and I'm surprised I haven't seen them all on Catch Driver over the past couple of weeks. Because I'll tell you what, I'd be on Catch Driver trying to get my lean on.
Absolutely, no question about it. And it's you know, and it's interesting because I think everybody is kind of attacking this thing differently. I mean, everybody I think is doing things, you know, a little different to try to keep their mind occupied during this. And I know Netflix is big. I know screen time is big, and you know, the internet and everything like that. You know, just something to keep your mind occupied during this thing. But, you know, Mike, here's the thing, though. I think we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. You know, I mean, we're starting to see some encouraging news about some different kind of treatments. We're starting to see encouraging news. The number of cases, the number of hospitalizations now are starting to decline. And, you know, you hear instead of deaths and instead of sicknesses, now we're starting to hear more and more about how we as a country can get back open. And, you know, that's a real encouraging sign. I don't know how long it's going to take for things to get back to normal. I mean, I think social distancing is still going to have to be practiced a lot, and some of the other precautions. I think you're going to see a lot of masks. I mean, I went to Walmart yesterday, Mike, and I had to actually wait in line to get inside because they're only letting so many people in. So I do think this is going to kind of be a new normal for a while. But you know what? I do kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I can't wait to get back to racing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I miss racing. I miss racing a lot. And, you know, Kate catches me watching South Africa here every once in a while in the mornings. So, you know, I'm starting to learn about some Australian harness racing. So, you know, starting to learn some things about some different things going on.
Now, Mike, do you find yourself calling a race every once in a while?
Only the simulated ones. I do not call the races off television. I don't call any of those races. You know, shot 10 is a little bit tough. 20 horses going four furlongs is a little tough for me. So I stay away from those. I leave that to the professionals.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. All right, let's get this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike started, presented by the U.S. Drawing Association. Vic Kirby is going to be joining us, plus the natural Rich Matei and Tim Tietrich. And we'll get the ball rolling with Vic after this time out of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the USTA.
Hey, racing fans. We all know the ride begins well before the starting gate. Stay warmed up around the clock at PennHorseRacing.com, your home for all things harness and thoroughbred racing. PennHorseRacing.com gives you the inside track on betting, industry events, breeding, news, and more. You know, everything that'll give you an edge come post time. Visit PennHorseRacing.com today. Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Horse Racing Association. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you interested in learning more about owning standardbred racehorses? Do you want to experience the excitement of driving a standardbred? Owning a racehorse is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and not as difficult as you may think. The United States Trotting Association wants to help make your ownership dreams a reality. Contact a member of the Ownership Concierge team by email at owners@ustrotting.com or by calling 877-800-8782, extension 5555.
Join Harness Racing's hottest and most affordable fractional group, Winner's Circle Racing. Winner's Circle Racing provides the total harness racing experience from the barn to the paddock all the way to the winner's circle. Come invest with us and experience 100% of the thrills at a fraction of the cost. For more information, visit winnerscircleracing.net. That's winnerscircleracing.net.
Here comes the charging MOA, charging hard at odds of 6-1.
We're back to this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the United States Trucker, alongside of Mike Bozich. And we're joined now by driver Vic Kirby. And Vic, obviously, a lot of things going on in the world right now, but how are you kind of adjusting now that things are kind of the new normal, so to speak?
Everything's good down here. I'm glad to hear you guys are doing well. Hope everybody out there listening is doing well. Yeah, like you said, the new normal, and it's not a very fun normal. I'm fortunate enough that at my family farm, I still have 4 horses that I'm going with in training, even though they're just going lightly. Kind of occupies the mornings and part of the afternoon and projects that you always put off because we're racing. Obviously, you have time to do now. And then it kind of gets hectic in the afternoon and the evening. I'm hunkered down with my girlfriend, Patty, and my stepdaughter, Erica, and we're running out of things to watch, and my stepdaughter, Erica, she drives me nuts trying to do TikTok videos, so that's been a little hectic. But other than that, we're all dealing, and hopefully we can get through this safely.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, Vic, from a training point of view, now we know you're mostly cash driver, but you obviously train a few, as you mentioned. Is this kind of how has this affected your training regimen with horses, or has it at all?
Different people can speak in different ways. Me personally, I shut them down for about 10 days, and now, like I said, I'm going lightly with them, putting jog miles in them just to keep them legged up because we really don't know when we're going to get back at it. I'm sure other stables are doing things differently. You know, I kind of feel for the bigger stables, just the way they're having to work things. So I think it's kind of an individual thing, how different people are going about it different ways.
You know, Vic, that's one thing I wondered about a lot of the guys who had big stables or even some of the small stables is when this whole thing kind of started coming together, you know, the question is, what do you do? Do you shut them down? Do you bring them back? What do you do? What kind of went into that decision for you guys?
Well, me personally, our horses have been racing pretty hard all winter at Dover. So it was kind of a welcome break for them, even though it's tough because we don't have a timetable. You know, when do you get them ready? When do you point them for their next race? Which, like an athlete, horses are like athletes, and you want to have them ready when it's time to go. And that's the real hard thing for everybody is we don't know when to have them ready. Like I said, it was an individual decision on my part, being that I just have 4 horses, and they're overnight horses. You know, the guys with young stake horses coming up, other guys, Jimmy King, I know, that was getting Chart and ready for her stakes campaign along with the rest of them in the blue chip and the Levy. I'm sure they were getting things going. But once again, it's just an individual thing, and that's what I decided to do.
Visiting with driver Vic Kirby now. Vic, you know, we had Joe Feraldo on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I think he brought up a really good point is that I think racing needs to get together and come up with a bona fide plan. I mean, obviously, I don't think things are going to get back to normal right away. There's going to have to be social distancing. There's going to have to be some kind of precautions, you know, that horsemen and horsewomen are going to have to take in the paddock. What kind of things do you think you kind of envision that horse racing can do to kind of meet these kind of needs? Because I just don't see it going back to normal right away.
No, I don't think any of us do, and we're all going to have to adjust to it. Obviously, we all deal with social distancing when we go to the stores. You know, I go to Wawa every morning. You got to stay, you try to conscientiously stay 6 feet or more from everybody. The same thing's going to be when we come back racing in the paddock, you know, in the offices, You guys up in the booth, we're just all going to have to be weary of it, and I'm sure they're going to have to make adjustments with who is and who isn't allowed in the paddock, how they set the horses up in the paddock. Probably on the track is the least of our worries, because I mean we're near each other, but we're not right on top of each other on the track. So that's probably the least of the worries. The biggest decision making is going to be and just around the offices in general, and like I said, you guys up in the booth.
Everybody's kind of got their own ideas and their own theories on when we're going to get back to racing. So I'm going to ask you, from Vic Kirby's point of view, with the way things are going on right now, give me a best-case scenario date and a worst-case scenario date. What do you think?
Best-case scenario, and a lot of people have been asking me this like I'm a genie and I'm going to know the answer, which I don't. Nobody does. But
right.
I would be doing backflips if in the middle of May they could give us some kind of heads up that we could be going, in a couple of weeks by the beginning of June. Worst case scenario is we got to sit this thing out through the rest of the summer, which, I mean, already it's a struggle on people financially, mentally. But it is what it is. I mean, this is a bigger issue than horse racing. And, I mean, yeah. It's life, and people's lives are in jeopardy here. So, you know, we have to adhere to that, adjust to it. We just hope we can get through this. I think we're doing a good job so far. But, yeah, those are my best and worst-case scenarios. If they come true, then you can call me a genie.
All right. Well, listen, if we can get going in the middle of May, I would be doing backflips as well. Vic, we certainly appreciate you joining us. Good to hear you and your loved ones are doing well, my friend.
Same to you guys. Everybody stay safe out there, and hope to see you soon.
All right, that was Vic Kirby. And, Mike, always a pleasure to have Vic on the program. And I'm going to tell you what, it's fun, and I miss watching Vic compete on the racetrack, because he's one of them guys that just has a whole lot of fun racing horses and driving horses. And I'll tell you what, it's guys like Vic that make me miss the sport even more.
You're not kidding. What a great attitude, and some really good information regarding his stable. You know, Mike, one of the things that I think, you know, people don't really think about is, you know, when this whole thing started, the question is, do you shut everybody down, or do you continue
right.
to go? And some really good information from Vic there about what their stable did and why they did the things that they did.
More or less to come on this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the U.S. Trotting Association. We're going to hear from our friend, our good friend, the natural Richard Mathai, plus Tim Teacher towards the top of the hour. So don't go anywhere. You got Post Time with Mike and Mike. We'll be back in a moment.
The Harness Horse Youth Foundation has the power to bring a life-changing experience to any child. We introduce youth to the horses and skills that build confidence, friendships, and a lifelong love of harness racing. The Harness Horse Youth Foundation has been a positive influence in the lives of thousands of young people since 1976. Check out the complete list of Harness Horse Youth Foundation camps and activities at hhyf.org. That's hhyf.org.
Southern Oaks has been the winter home of many great horses competing in several different stakes programs. It's home to leading trainers such as Irv Miller, John Bootenshane, Eddie Lohmeyer, and Ian Moore, just to name a few. The farm is conveniently located within 45 minutes of both the Orlando Airport and Daytona Beach in sunny Florida. Southern Oaks, arguably the best training surface in all of Florida, has stalls for rent for the winter season. For more information, visit SouthernOaksTraining.com. That's SouthernOaksTraining.com.
Winback Farm of Ontario is proud to welcome four exciting new stallions for 2020. Jimmy Freight, the 2018 O'Brien Award winner and the winner of the Dayton Pacing Derby and Mohawk Gold Cup. Nick Wicked, the 2018 Horse of the Year in U.S. and Canada, the richest pacing stallion in harness racing history. Stag Party, the 2018 O'Brien Award winner and the winner of the Metro Pace. And The Bank, son of two millionaires, Donato Hanover and Lantern Krotos, and a Breeders' Crown and Stanley Dancer Champion. For more information, visit winbackfarm.com. That's winbackfarm.com.
We're back on this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the United States Trotting Association. Mike Carter alongside of Mike Bozich, and we're joined now by the natural Rich Mattei. And Rich, obviously, the last couple of weeks has kind of turned racing as a whole on its head. And, you know, how are you dealing with not that much racing going on?
I'm holding up, guys. I got Gulfstream and Oaklawn, so since I've been home, basically I've just been attacking those two tracks, and I've actually been doing pretty well. So how are you guys holding up?
Well, we're not doing too bad, buddy. And no, I think we're doing all right. Mike Carter and I are keeping busy, and Rich, I know, you know, of course, you met somebody a few years back that obviously is special in your life, and, you know, you get married, you proposed. When is the date, by the way?
Actually, it's a year from today, right? Today's the 16th? Yeah.
Today, right.
A year from today.
Wow.
You better not forget.
How about that? April 16th. So this is beautiful. This is great. Now, your future wife is on the front line of this battle with coronavirus. She is a nurse in a New Jersey hospital, and she's been working in the coronavirus unit. And listen, God bless these people that are on the front lines, because obviously they're putting their life and their health in jeopardy of helping others. Tell us about some of the stories that she has told you in dealing with some of these patients, Rich.
There's some really sad stories. I hear mostly the sad stuff. Yesterday we actually had good news at the hospital up here. Joelle came home yesterday and actually said yesterday was the first day that more people were released from the hospital with the COVID virus than they took in, which is good. But I think the saddest stories that I hear from her, and like you could tell that it affects her, is that when these people are like desperately ill and they know they're not going to make it, that their family members can't come to the hospital, there's no visitors. And basically she has to take an iPad and put the family members on FaceTime to say goodbye to them. And she's in the room with them, and she gets really emotional when she comes home.
You know, that's a tough situation, you know, to deal with for anybody. But in that situation, it's just, you know, I couldn't even imagine being in her shoes. And obviously having the support system at home has had to help her out. But she's probably putting in some pretty long hours, huh?
Yeah, she's usually working now. Usually a nurse works 3 12-hour shifts. She's working 4 to 5 now a week. And basically I've just been at home, taking care of the house, cleaning the house, doing the laundry, doing the cooking, taking care of the dog. So I'm just trying to help as much as I can.
Visiting with the natural Rich Mattei. Rich, has she mentioned anything about, I mean, how are supplies? I mean, does that hospital, does she have everything she needs to do her job effectively?
Yeah. I haven't really heard any complaints from her where they don't have any equipment for them. And I know before they really started getting COVID patients, they started making COVID units, and they have to use special protocols. Like she has to wear clothes that she could discard to go to the hospital. And then they give her scrubs there, these special scrubs, and the rooms. The air doesn't come out of the rooms and everything. But she actually says she's probably safer at the hospital with all the protocols than she is going to the grocery store.
Wow. Amazing. That's just incredible to me. Obviously, we've seen a lot of racing jurisdictions kind of shut down, and, you know, a couple of thoroughbred tracks still going. But best case scenario in your head, when do you think we get back to rocking and rolling?
I want to say, I'm the type of guy that's more realistic than hopeful. I'm going to say probably end of June, maybe start of July, you'll start seeing these tracks open up.
Visiting with Rich Mattei. And Rich, now obviously she's had a lot of experience, your future wife, your fiance, dealing with the coronavirus. What are some of the things that she has suggested to you, or she's maybe suggested to other people to try to not catch it, to try to stay safe and healthy?
Basically, she just says wash your hands. You know, the social distancing definitely helps. But I think because she deals with it so much, she isn't as scared as most Americans, if that makes any sense. Like, she'll come home, and yeah, like, she's had a rough day, but she goes straight into the shower when she gets home. And basically, just wash your hands, wear a mask when you go out. She does, when we go out to, like, the grocery store and stuff, she does tell me things, like, not to do. Like, these people wear gloves in the store, but then they'll get in the car and wear those gloves while they are touching the steering wheel and everything. She says, as soon as you're done at the grocery store, you have to discard those gloves. Like, if there's a trash can right outside of the grocery store, you have to discard them, because basically it's like you're not washing your hands and you're getting everything that you just touched in your car, basically. And she says, basically, you really don't have to go overboard. Like, I know there's people that, like, disinfect their grocery bags and stuff like that. She says that's not necessary also.
Okay. Well, certainly some very, very interesting stuff. And I know you've this has kind of been a change for you. I mean, I know you love the sport of horse racing in general. And of course, you're the assistant race secretary of Freehold. And you call the races at Tioga. So are you doing anything to kind of keep you fresh? I mean, have you practiced calling races? Have you been doing anything to kind of, you know, stay on top of your game, so to speak?
Honestly, not really.
Besides handicapping?
No, that's all I've been doing. That's all I've been doing. Yeah. I'm actually handicapping Gulfstream Park for today. Because now with the coronavirus, I've really just been focused on Gulfstream and Oaklawn and trying to keep myself occupied and playing every day. And honestly, I've had some success in the last couple of weeks. But honestly, I think from the job aspect, I'm more taking a mental break from it and trying to just refresh. Mm-hmm. So when we finally get back, I will be definitely chomping at the bit. So that's really what I've been doing.
And for any of them gamblers out there, do you have anything, any horse at Gulfstream that you like today that you'd like to pass on, my friend? We promise we won't hurt their odds too bad.
All right, let's go to race number, let me just pull it up. Race 6, number 9, Lucky Mike, $1,000 claimer, where you had to be on the inside that day at Gulfstream on the turf to have any success. This horse was 3 or 4 wide around the racetrack, and even last time out, you weren't going to beat Vegas Kitten. Vegas Kitten just walked on the lead. Now drops down to the 30, blinkers on, and Lucky Mike will get a lot more pace to chase this afternoon.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. Well, Mike and I will load up. Well, listen, Rich, we certainly appreciate you joining us, man. And listen, give your wife our best and tell her a big, sincere thank you from all of us here Post Time with Mike and Mike, because I'll tell you what, she's doing great, great things.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that was the natural Rich Matei. And, well, another piece of good news, actually, Mike. You know, she said for the first time in a while that hospitalizations, the amount of people being admitted are starting to drop. And that's a very good sign that we're starting to win. I don't want to say we're starting to win this battle, but we're certainly headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, each state is going to be different. You know, that's the key to this whole thing. And when New York, New Jersey, you know, start to come down the other side of this, you know, states like Ohio and Delaware might not be. So you just got to kind of take it one day at a time and, you know, stay inside. I know people are frustrated and upset and all this other stuff. But, you know, listen, this is what we need to do to get rid of this thing.
Yeah, I think we got to continue to practice it. I mean, and it's starting to work. I mean, I think people initially got frustrated because, you know, the government's imposed all of these things on us that we have to do or we can do. And, you know, for a couple of weeks there, we didn't really see any improvements in numbers as far as hospitalizations and deaths. But now we're starting to. And you know, just hopefully we can, you know, get back to racing, because like we're saying, and actually, you know what? It was really cool to hear Rich talk about an actual race there
right.
for a minute.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
You know, I mean, that's something we haven't done on the show for, what, the last three or four shows. We haven't really even talked about racing. I mean, it's so much. You know, hey, it felt good to hear Rich talk about an actual race. Still lots left to come on this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the USTA. Tim Tietrich in the on-deck circle. It'll be fun to catch up with him and see what he's doing during this lockdown, which hopefully won't last for very much longer. We're going to take a time out, and we'll hear from Timmy. That Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the USTA.
Mike Bozich, along with Mike Carter, for Pacing for the Cure. Do you or someone you love with multiple sclerosis have a difficult time paying for your MS medications or need medical equipment such as a lift chair or scooter to help with your mobility needs? Pacing for the Cure can help. Please visit the pacingforthecure.org website and complete the mobility aid application, or contact Jeff at pacingforthecure.org. If eligible, you may receive funding. Mike?
Are you a harness racing trainer or driver? Please join the list of those who pledged in 2018 for the $1 per win challenge. The 2019 challenge has begun and wins tally from January 1st through November 30th. For the drivers and trainers that are currently participating in the challenge and donate $100, they will receive a Pacing for the Cure long sleeve t-shirt or baseball cap. For a $250 donation, the driver or trainer will receive two tickets to the annual party. If you are interested in joining the challenge, please email Jeff at pacingforthecure.org. Thank you, drivers and trainers.
From the edge of your seat start to the white knuckle finishes, horse racing is truly a ride unlike any other. One that the Pennsylvania Horse Racing Association intends to preserve in the Keystone State for years and years to come. From our breeders to track operators to you, the fan, PHRA is here to bring everyone together for the benefit of the sport we love and the majestic athletes we adore. Learn more about the PHRA's mission at PennHorseRacing.com. Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Horse Racing Association.
Join Harness Racing's hottest and most affordable fractional group, Winner's Circle Racing. Winner's Circle Racing provides the total harness racing experience from the barn to the paddock all the way to the winner's circle. Come invest with us and experience 100% of the thrills at a fraction of the cost. For more information, visit winnerscircleracing.net. That's winnerscircleracing.net.
Here comes the charging MOA, charging hard at odds of 6-1.
Are you interested in learning more about owning standardbred racehorses? Do you want to experience the excitement of driving a standardbred? Owning a racehorse is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and not as difficult as you may think. The United States Trotting Association wants to help make your ownership dreams a reality. Contact a member of the Ownership Concierge team by email at owners@ustrotting.com or by calling 877-800-8782, extension 5555.
Winback of Delaware's stallion lineup offers 12 proven stallions for the first stage. Classic Karn Shark is a proven sire of stakes winners. He is a full brother to both Better's Delight and Roll with Joe. Roddy's Bags Again is the sire of multiple DSBF final winners, including $675,000 winner Perfect Bags.
I'm Linda Toscano. I was the trainer of Heston Blueship for his whole career, and I have nothing but good things to say about Heston. He was a professional horse from the day he started.
Heston Blueship is the sire of multiple stakes winners, including 2019 New York Sire Stakes champion and $980,000 winner Zero Tolerance. For more information on stallions, including breeding contracts, visit winbackfarm.com.
We're back on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by the United States Trotting Association. Mike Bozich, along with Mike Carter, right now we're joined by a guy that just has to be itching to get back on the bike, for crying out loud, Tim Tietrich. Tim, welcome to the program, buddy.
Thanks for having me. You aren't lying, man. I,
I'd go race a 100-to-1 shot right now just to get back out there and go do something. Man. I'm about as bored as they can get.
I know. Tell me about it. This thing is, yeah, listen, also, it's affected us all. I mean, and it's a tough thing to deal with. But like I say, the numbers are now starting to get better. So I think, you know, some of the things that we've been doing and practicing is starting to work. And hopefully we can get back racing soon. But what's Tim Tietrich been doing? I mean, what have you been doing to kind of pass the time during this lockdown?
Well, thank goodness I have the farm here. We have 12 acres and, you know, with me traveling all the time all summer, a lot of honeydew jobs doesn't get done. So I think I've painted every door in the house. I've painted a lot of stuff in the barn. I've painted the outdoor buildings, repaired stuff. And by the time this is all over, I might actually know how to cut a board pretty straight.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's, you know, I know people are kind of, I think a lot of people are kind of taking advantage of this. I mean, you know, like I've been cooking a lot lately. So I think I don't know if I've gotten any better at it, but, you know, certainly trying. Let's talk about trying to get back racing. And we asked Vic this question. And I'm going to throw this to you. Obviously, it's going to be tough to get to normal right away. I mean, we're going to have to practice a lot of the things that we've been practicing over the last month, I think, continuing on as we get back to our professions and lives. How do you envision things in the paddock and things going forward?
You know, it's going to cut down the numbers. You know, I think for a first little bit, drivers are probably going to have to get dressed in their car, do the Brett Miller thing, never go up the driver's room. But, you know, it's going to be a little different, you know, less people. You know, I don't think there'll be a kitchen for the horsemen. They'll have to bring their own food and own drinks and stuff. But like you said, we're going to have to practice this social, you know, social stuff and, you know, just be careful. You know, I'm a big handshake guy, and I bought some hay the other day, and it's so hard not to shake the guy's hand, you know, when you do a deal, you know, and you're not going to be able to shake hands for a while. You know, it's just, you know, I'm believing in that kind of stuff. So, but it's going to be different. You know, I'm just ready to get back racing, and I know a lot of people are. You know, luckily, I don't have too many mouths to feed around here for racehorses, so I feel bad with those guys that's got 50, 60 head of horses that they own a lot of themselves.
And that's, you know, that was going to kind of be my next question. And, you know, I think everybody's kind of, you know, especially trainers with a big head of horses. I mean, I think everybody's kind of attacking it differently as far as training style. And I know you've kind of dabbled in training a little bit. What's your kind of your strategy? I mean, as far as training goes, has it changed a whole lot or?
Yeah, just back off, you know, kind of a week on or, you know, 10 days on, a week off. And, you just try to not to do anything that's going to hurt them, you know, because you don't want to spend money on the vet, so you just keep them busy. You know, a lot of mile and a half and nothing hard work, just a lot of work, easy work. So just keep them fit. That way if we get the word within, you know, 10 days or a week even, I think my people's horses will be ready. You know, they've got them still busy and they're not let down all the way. So, you know, within a week they can have them things tuned back up and be ready to go opening day.
Visiting with Tim Tietrich. You know, we asked Vic to get his crystal ball out. We're gonna ask you the same thing. Give us the best case and worst case scenario in your head as far as when we can get back.
You know, best case scenario, I'm looking at May 15th, you know, and worst case scenario, July 1st. But I'm hoping it's sooner than later. I would love a May 15th with, you know, no people in the stands and, you know, minimal people in the paddock, you know, only – like if Ronnie Burke's allowed, if he's got 8 in, he's still only allowed 2 grooms, you know, and the trainer, that's it. You know, and keep them separated. We don't have to have 14 races at Chester. We could go, you know, 10 races and, you know, spread them out, you know. So, well, hopefully it'll get back sooner than later, you know. But, man, I'm itching, boy. I even got my bike out the other day. I've got 2 of them here. Redid the bearings, painted them, polished them up, put them back in the dust bowl. But, you know, it's I'm just ready to go race.
Now, of course, the million-dollar question is, are you driving Ashley crazy yet?
Well, you know I am. She wants me to go to bed too. You know, I stay up. I try to stay outside all day. And luckily, we've had really nice weather. You know,
right.
That's a good thing we've had. We've had some warm days and a lot of sunshine. My grass has grown, and I've been mowing my grass, 3 times a week. And just anything to do outside and try to keep my mind off of it. Just because I'm a very active person, you know, and when I'm sitting still, I don't know how people can live in a studio apartment and be in this quarantine. It'd be like having a jail cell for me. You know, I'd just go crazy.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, Dave Brower and I were going back and forth the other day because opening day was supposed to be was April 5th at Harris Philly, and it was 70 and sunny on that Sunday. And Dave Brower sends me a text and says, "Oh, I'm thinking about you today. It would have been a great day. It would have been a beautiful day to have opening day." And I said, "Well, you know what? If we would have actually been raised, believe me, because we never seem to have any kind of luck when it comes to weather at Harris Philly, whether it's the Friday nights or the opening day, it just never seems to cooperate with us. But I'll tell you what, buddy, we certainly miss harness racing. I know you do, and man, we can't wait to see you get back out there on the bike, my friend.
Yeah, like, you know, it's going to get better. Like, we hear it all the time. We just got to stick together, and we're going to get through this. Our business is a strong business. We have good people, and, you know, it's a great sport. You know, maybe this is something that we needed to step back and see how much we really do appreciate and miss it when it's not here.
All right, Tim, Melissa, we certainly appreciate you joining us, my friend, and stay busy, and hopefully we'll get back to it sooner rather than later.
Soon, man. Take care.
All right, that was Tim Tietrich, and, well, you know, you kind of hear, you know, different perspectives about how these horsemen and horsewomen are handling it, and Tim's obviously staying busy and cutting the grass a lot, and boy, another reason why I certainly miss the sport of harness racing, man. And I just, you know, I really, really hope that we can get going really, really soon. We're going to take a final time out, and we'll wrap this thing up. Post Time with Mike and Mike is presented by the USTA. Back in just a moment.
Post Time, gates moving. They're off and it is on.
Every year, the Harness Horse Youth Foundation travels the country to share the love of harness racing with the next generation. The Harness Horse Youth Foundation educates, introducing youth to new friends and opportunities. The Harness Horse Youth Foundation has been a positive influence in the lives of thousands of young people since 1976. Learn how you can support bringing kids and horses together, building a stronger future for the sport. Visit hhyf.org. That's hhyf.org.
Well, we certainly appreciate all of our guests joining us here today, and of course, certainly appreciate you, the listener. Without you guys, the show certainly wouldn't be possible. Another action-packed episode coming up next Thursday at 10:30. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And special thanks to our guests here today, Vic Kirby, Tim Tietrich, and Rich Matei. Well, good news, a week from today, we'll be closer to racing. And you'll hear from us at 10:30 next Thursday. Good night, everybody.
Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your wish. Your beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.